When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yes, he is. And right now, before we get to Doug, we'll take the 10th caller to win a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles at 412-922-1020. But Doug would like to talk to you, so get on the phones. Gardening season is here. Even though some flurries are awaiting us this week, we're going to have some warm weather as well. And we've really experienced a great start to the month of March. And obviously here in the waning days of the month, it has been a spectacular month, so you got to believe April will be even better, and that means it's planting season. So whatever is on your mind, call him right now. All of our lines are available, 866-391-1020, and we'll be talking trees with Davey Trees coming up in just about 20 minutes. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. You know, it's funny when you say that about April. I talked to some gardening friends the other day, and they're just like, boy, the start to March has been the start to spring in March has been wonderful, but boy, I bet you April's going to be cold. So you're looking at the positive, Rob, which I like. You're one of those full glass guys, half full, right?
I guess. Depends on what's in that glass. After this weekend, it could be bourbon.
I actually left the windows open last night so I could listen to the rain, and that was nice. So yes, welcome back, Davey Tree. We'll be talking to the experts from the companies through the entire season. This week it's Rob Kruljack, who has a spring checklist for us. I'll be looking forward to picking his brain after the 7:30 news break. And forsythia is starting to bloom, and this is our indication that what's coming next is crabgrass and other weeds sprouting too. And so for those of us that are organic, and you're all organic, right? We use corn gluten meal to stop crabgrass. And corn gluten meal is completely benign to us. It is a byproduct of the corn milling process. And how it works is when you put it down, it will, the seeds, the weed seeds will start to sprout, but then they can't complete the germination cycle. And so it's wonderful because, you know, you could apply it with your hands if you wanted to. It can't hurt you, and it stops any seeds from sprouting. Well, that's the trick, not just weed seeds, so you can't, you know, put new grass seed down. I use it in a lot of different ways, though. You know, it's basically used as a, you know, for lawns to stop crabgrass, and the trick is it has to be applied now because we know these seeds are going to sprout soon. That's what the forsythia tells us. But you could use it in other spots of the garden later in the season. So let's say we had a bed of bean seeds. And so as soon as the bean seeds sprout, I could put some corn gluten meal down to stop any other annual seeds from sprouting. See how it works? And so, yeah, as I said, safe, easy to find. It's ground in two different ways. When you get it at the garden center, it'll go through a spreader. If you buy it at a feed store, like maybe Pittsburgh Agway stores would have something like this, I'm sure they will, then it doesn't go through a spreader, so you just apply it by hand. It's a great way to deal with weeds safely. And as Rob was saying, boy, it is planting season. Yes, it's going to get cold out there, but it's going to get warm again. That's spring. And so take a look at all that cool weather stuff that I love to grow, the lettuces and the greens and all that other stuff. It's just great to get started. I took my pansies out of the unheated greenhouse and have them out in the garden, and they're staying out there. Even if it's going to get to 32, it doesn't matter. There's nothing left that Mother Nature has in her to stop pansies or some of these other cool weather crops. And if you need a great way to get into the gardening spirit, I'm giving free virtual organic gardening classes every Thursday at 4:30. I've partnered with Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania, and I've got classes, how many left? 7 classes left. And I've got pictures of everything we're talking about. This week, we are going to talk all about preparing the garden for planting, plus some cool stuff to put in the garden, too. All the information is at DougOster.com. And speaking of Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania, they're sponsoring Doug's Free Seed Shacks. Those are these boxes that used to be filled with newspapers that you would see on the street where you'd throw a quarter or 50 cents in and get a paper out. Well, I've got a bunch of old boxes. Now I've got them painted. I want to give a shout-out to my friends at the local FedEx office here in McKnight, on McKnight and Ross, for helping me create some really cool signs for the boxes. I'm going to put one of these boxes somewhere next week as a beta test to see what you think of it. And so next week, I'm going to announce where the box will be. There'll be some cool free seeds in there. You know, the free seeds are going to be down in the city for people that need it, but they're also going to be some weird stuff that you need a little expertise to grow. And so those will be up in some of these boxes in the area, and it's been a fun project, and those boxes look good once they were painted. We're giving away a book today, and that is The Container Herb Gardening, Complete Container Herb Gardening by Sue Getz. Filled with lots of great information. I liked it a lot, growing herbs in pots. All you have to do is go to DougOster.com, click on that contact button, and say, I want to win the book, or I'm a winner, whatever, something like that. And my trip to Croatia in July is on. All we need is our shot. If you've got your shot, you can go. They're letting us into Croatia. Looks like hopefully we'll be through this by then. And a 12-day trip to Croatia on a private yacht. All the information is at DougOster.com. I've got probably 3 or 4 cabins left. If you have a gardening question today, you can't get through, you're too shy to call, just go to DougOster.com. I answer every question I get, and I'll be answering after the show for about an hour. But let's talk today. We need to talk about gardening. Give a call, 866-391-1020. And Rob, could we squeeze a caller in if there's one there, or should you and I just chit-chat?
No, I'm going to try. We got a caller. I'm going to try to squeeze this caller in. Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. I had a question. I have 4 trees that I need to fertilize. The 2 that have been in the ground now for, this will be the 3rd season, are a contorted larch, and the other one that's the 3rd season in the ground is a Persian ironwood. Both of their trunks are approximately 3 to 4 inches in diameter. And the last is, I have 2 Bruns Serbian spruces.
Well, first off, nice choices. Secondly, there's a organic fertilizer that's very easy to find out there, and it's called Tree Tone. So the word tree and then tone, T-O-N-E. Okay. And that will be perfect. There will be application rates on there for the size of the tree, and that's all you'll need. How are those trees doing? They're doing their thing okay, 3 years old?
Yes, actually they are, except I had some, I think last year with the larch, I went on vacation in November, and I came back, and the bottom branches of the larch were gone, but they were lying on the ground like no one ate it, and it turned out that a buck had come and rubbed his antlers and debranched trees.
Oh, that's
I waited until my back was turned, and on vacation, I was so mad. But anyway, I put them all in little cages this winter, and in fact, could you advise when it might be safe to take those little cages off in general?
As rubbing,
I mean, I know you can't mind read deer, but...
Well, as far as rubbing is concerned, those can come off. But as far as feeding is concerned, you know, they're still gonna eat, but I don't think they're going to want those trees. So
no,
I think you'd be
no, I've not had any trouble, but I just got paranoid after the little antler episode.
Right, you want those on for, you know, September through December, something like that. Well, Karen, thanks very much for the call. It's great to squeeze a caller in here for the first segment.
All right, KDK Radio and JP Roofing and Metal Buildings want to put a roof over your head valued at $8,000. Is your roof looking a little rough? Are the shingles damaged from past storms and winter weather? Register for your chance to win a brand new roof installed by JP Roofing at kdkradio.com/contest. Yes, he is, and he wants to talk to you. Let's begin with Ron in Cheswick. Hi, Ron.
Good morning. I guess it's my lucky day, and while I was on hold, I had a second question, if I may, for Professor Doug. Off the bat, I realized that I need to go and buy a pH tester. I was trying to figure out a way how to use my pH strips, but is there anything I should be looking for on that? And if I may, the second question, whenever I did send my garden samples out to Penn State Ag and I got the report back, it said the calcium was like off the charts. But the only thing I ever added to my garden was mushroom manure. So is there, need I have any concern about that high level of calcium? Thank you.
Well, yeah, let's start with the second question. Now, there's nothing you can really do about it. So, yeah, don't sweat that. High calcium is a good thing. It's not going to be a negative thing. Now, what area do you live in?
Hello?
What area do you live in? Because down in the South Hills, Andy Anrime at EV True Value, he loans people a really
I'm up north. I'm by Deer Lakes Park.
Okay, well, you're not going to want to go all the way down to Bethel Park, but he actually loans his customers a really nice pH meter, and it's like a, I don't know, it's an expensive pH meter.
Out of my ball game.
Yeah, there's two ways to go about it. Buy that big, really cool scientific device, or, you know, just get the nicest soil test kit you can. But, I mean, for the $9 that, you know, Penn State wants for the test, you don't only need to be tested, I would think, you know, every few years, your soil, you know, if you're doing the right thing and everything's growing good, you know, your pH isn't going to change that quickly. You know, we're most concerned with the pH. It sounds like you're doing good fertility-wise. So if it was me, the most accurate test that I know of is the Penn State test, except for, you know, if you just want pH, that scientific meter that Andy loans his customers would be the next way to go, and it's kind of pricey. So thanks for your call. Go ahead.
The other part was I'm also concerned. Well, me and my friends, I'm also we're trying to start do. We want to sell both of these houses, so we're concerned about trying to pretty up our lawn. And listening to the other hardware store guys, it's like maybe we should be testing the pH for lawns also.
But you only need to test that once, and that's going to give you a number that's going to be there for a while. And so you get the number for your lawn, what the pH is. You have that scientific number. Now you have a scientific formula to get it back to what you want it to get at, you know. If you're up north, let me tell you about, if you want to green up that lawn and you want to do it cheap, there's this fertilizer I love. It's called Revita, and it's 50 pounds for $20. And it's at the Pittsburgh Agway stores. It has to be in that, like, six-store chain. And then also at Hahn Nursery. Yeah, you want to get your pH right, but this stuff is basically just dehydrated chicken manure. It's organic. You throw that on your lawn's going to get green. All right. Thanks so much for your call.
All right. Let's move on now to Nancy up next on KDK and the Organic Gardener with Doug Oster. Hi, Nance.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? Speak up just a little bit, please.
Okay, sure. My question is about grape arbors. We had some grapevines here in our property that probably 60 years old, and over the last couple of years have developed a fungus. You know, they start to grow great in early summer, and then they get black spots and rot and fall off.
Yep.
So last fall, we took them down to the ground, put them down, discarded them. So now what's our next step? Will they come back?
They'll be back, but you're going to want to treat those, that new growth, with a organic fungicide.
Okay.
What you're describing is very common, and it's heartbreaking with grapes because they'll look so good.
Yes.
And at the end of the season, it's like, what? And they all just shrivel up and turn black, and it's just mm-hmm. awful. So what we do is let's watch that plant. When it starts to put its vines on again, as soon as we get that new green growth, we'll start a regime of organic fungicide spraying. And it depends on what you're using, what product. Read the label, but it'll be something like every 21 days, something like that, or every 2 weeks, and you got to keep spraying that plant through the season to stop the fungus problem. And with most fungal issues, it's so important to start this application before you see signs of damage. You'll do so much. It's so much easier to stop that from affecting the plant if we know it's going to get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we apply as soon as we see new growth, that new leafy green growth, and that should solve your problem. And those, they should be sprouting up here pretty soon.
That's what I was going to say. Will they come back this year?
That I'm not sure of. You know, with an old plant like that, I doubt it. You never know. You know, it might put on growth and go nuts, and maybe there's some vines left over. We'll see what happens. But
okay,
just be sure to treat it with a fungicide as it grows, and then continue that every year, and you should be getting grapes either this year or next year, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, listen, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back on the other side. Lots to get to. Join Giant Eagle in supporting Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and other local food banks in the mission to end hunger. You can help by donating today, Giant Eagle and Get-Go locations. You can also donate during the curbside order by typing Feeding America in the search bar. Details, kdkradio.com. All right, Doug's coming back. We've got a gift certificate from the good folks at Janoski's to give away. He's got Rob Kruljack here today. Davy Tree, their first appearance of the season. It's springtime, and that means there's a checklist that he and Rob will go over in just a couple of minutes, which is some really good stuff. Always good to have Davy Tree back for another season. In the meantime, phones are filling up quickly. If you have a question for Doug or Rob, you need to call us now. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. You can also get a message to us here at Dollar Bank Instant Access. You can find that at kdkradio.com. Melinda Roeder back with that news at 7:30, and then we're back with more of Doug Oster. DougOster.com. I'm the Organic Gardener, and up next, first time for the season, Davy Trees, talking trees. Yes, he is, and what better way to start this half hour than by giving you an opportunity to win a gift certificate to Janoski's, with a greenhouse and garden center open this weekend. If you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you're a winner.
We are joined by Rob Kruljack from the Davy Tree Expert Company. He's going to give us a spring checklist. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Doug. Yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, speaking spring, from a gardening standpoint, this seems early. Does it seem early from an arborist standpoint, or is this a typical spring?
A little early. We're starting to have some crab apples start to pop up near Cranberry, and here in my place in Richland Township, you know, my lilac's starting to bud out. So things are coming along. I don't think as early as some years past, but we're there.
So when we think spring checklist for the trees, what's the first thing that we should be looking at?
You know, the buds are coming on to them. You know, it's a good time to start looking to see if, you know, that your plants have overwintered well. You could start checking for some storm damage that may have occurred over the winter now that the weather's a little bit more favorable to go outside, you know, looking for maybe broken hanging branches and such in trees that may have happened through the winter, something that should be taken care of from a hazard standpoint. And then just, with fertilizing is a great time of year to do your fertilizing.
Let me stop right there with the fertilizing, because we had a question about fertilizing.
Oh, really? Great.
How do you fertilize a tree? Because I told the caller, like, okay, get some granular tree tone and just kind of sprinkle it around and follow the application of the bag. But as an expert, how would you go if you went to a house and said that they, you know, to fertilize a tree? How would you guys do it?
But we use a liquid fertilizer that's, you know, injected into the soil under some pressure. So not only is it already, you know, liquefied basically, so you don't have to wait for the pellets, the granular stuff to break down and go in the soil. Mm-hmm. It's still slow release, so it gives the benefits of that fertilization throughout the summer months. And the injection of the you know, water mixed with the fertilizer under pressure, you know, actually kind of fragments the soil underground, opening up pore space, you know, to allow more oxygen into the soil for the roots to absorb as well. So it's a little bit more beneficial and effective with a liquid fertilizer under pressure than the pelletized, you know, materials.
And when you're thinking spring checklist, is there anything else that specifically we should be looking at as far as trouble spots might be concerned?
No, but, you know, I look at spring more as the preparatory period for the months to follow. A good time to start putting some mulch down around the trees to, you know, start preserving some moisture and returning nutrients to the soil. Of course, we don't want to over mulch. But no, that would probably be my biggest thing would be just preparing for the summer months ahead.
Yeah, well, we are contractually obligated to talk about volcano mulch anytime an arborist brings up the word mulch.
Right.
Let's just talk real quickly, and yes, we have to do this every time, but there is a proper way to mulch, if you wouldn't
it
mind.
Is. I feel like it's overdone, but it's so important, Doug, to not over-mulch these trees. So what we're referring to here is that, when you a lot of times go through a parking lot or a public area and you see these mounds of mulch coming halfway up the trunks of these trees, and we call it volcano mulching because it looks like little mini volcanoes. But that's one of the worst things you can do for a tree. It just, it holds moisture against the trunk of the tree that was never meant to be like underground. And essentially that's what you're doing to it. So that's where root rot can develop. It stunts the growth of the tree. We get into the issue of girdling roots coming up out of the soil we planted that tree into and growing into the mound of now decomposed mulch that's been packed there year after year for, 5 or 6 years. The roots can grow around the trunk of the tree, and the tree actually strangles itself after a while. Mulching should be no more than 2 inches. Wider is better than taller, I guess would be the
yeah, out there by the drip line, right? Right by the edge of the tree. Well, not the edge, but certainly not touching the bottom of the tree.
Exactly. Yeah. But stop the mulch before it gets to the base of the tree. And if you can, go out to where the branches end. And then we call that the drip line. And that's ideal in 2 inches. And you don't have to pile it on every year either. A lot of times if you put it on a little too thick, you can just turn it over and it helps to decompose better for that next year. The mulch volcanoes will actually shed water off away from the tree as opposed to, one of the benefits of mulching is to hold moisture in the soil for the roots to absorb. And those big shielded volcanoes just shed that water right away from the tree. So it's counterproductive.
In a way, it's sort of maddening that we keep preaching this, but we always will keep seeing it. But you know what, Rob, I'm going to tell you, you're making a difference because as every time we talk about this, somebody out there is like, oh, okay, I get it. That's the wrong way. Just, when you see it out there and you don't know any better, you're just like, oh, well, I guess that's the way you do it. But it's not the way you do it. So we're moving into planting season. What's the biggest mistake that gardeners make when they're putting their own tree in?
The biggest mistake I see made is just planting the tree too deeply. If you go online or whatever and you read a little bit, you're told to keep the top of the root ball a little bit above the soil, the grade that you're planting into, an inch or so. But it's important first, before even doing that, to clean some of the dirt off the top of that root ball until you find where the trunk transitions into the root flare. Because at the nursery, when those trees are dug out of the ground, the tree spade that's used to pull them out, when the blades go in, they push dirt up on top of that root ball and kind of bury the actual bottom of the tree. So even if you're following, some good recommendations and keeping that root ball a little bit above grade, the bottom of the tree can still be too deep. And again, that just leads to girdling root issues or, the tree not reaching its full potential because it's too deep in the ground. So there's some great treesaregood.org. has some great diagrams and such on proper tree planting that I like to reference or pass out to people to show what is right. And all dishing out the hole, not making it just an ogged out hole just big enough for that root ball to go in, but making it more like a dished out type of structure so that the roots can really start getting into that loosened up soil that you've churned over to plant the tree into.
All right, Rob, hang in there. I want you to stick around if you can. I'm sure we'll have some tree questions. Now, next week, Absolutely. We'll be talking to Miles Stevens about trees with curb appeal. And for more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. Remember, you can always call the experts from the Davey Tree Expert Company at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, back with Doug and Rob in just a couple of moments on KDKA. And before we get to some callers, if we have time, this hour is about gone. Doug wants to get to a question from a listener that he got for Davy Tree. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, Rob, I got a question from Lori. She has a linden tree, and the branches are just breaking off and hanging there in different parts of the tree all over. Does that, what do you think? Is that something you have to see, or can you comment?
I'd like to see it, but the question I guess I usually start with, are they live branches or dead branches? And if this has happened recently, that windstorm we had the other night, could have dislodged a lot of weak dead branches that had been overwintering. So if that's the case, I wouldn't be too concerned. But if there's a bunch of living branches, still green branches that have broken and are hanging there, that could be a reason for concern. There's something else wrong with the tree. But yeah, that to have an arborist come out and look at it would be the best idea at that point.
Yeah, remember, Lori, that a certified arborist from Davy will come for free to take a look and let you know what's going on there.
All right, we got to be done by 7:57, so give or take, we've got about 6 minutes left. So what do you say we take a couple of calls here and say hi, first off, to Mary Ann, who's got a question that Doug is very familiar with, the product, and that is garlic. Go ahead, Mary Ann.
Hi, Doug. This is Mary Ann. Good morning. I have a question. My garlic is up now. It's German garlic. I got at Chinoski's, and it's about 6 inches high. Now, how do I protect it, or do I have to?
You don't have to worry about a thing. You've got some good garlic there. I'm growing the same garlic from Chinoski's, and it's doing what it's supposed to do, and it doesn't matter what Mother Nature has left in her, that garlic's going to be fine. Now, let me tell you, first off, you can harvest a little bit. If you go to the very center of that plant and just kind of pinch that little green bud off, don't take all those greens off because that feeds the bulb, but that's a great little snack out in the garden. And then what's going to happen next in June, you're going to get this seed head that's going to pop up, it's going to come straight up and then spin around. When it spins around, remove it because we want the plant to focus its energy on making big bulbs, not on making seeds. And that seed head, it's called scape, is tasty. You can grill them. You can. I make pesto out of them. And then your garlic is going to be ready to be harvested in July, when about 50% of the greens turn brown. Okay?
All right. Thank you for the call. One more call. This is Angela. A couple of minutes left. Angela, how are you? Welcome to KDK. You're on the air with Doug and Rob. And Rob, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So we've been in our house a couple of years. We haven't put in a garden yet, and I'm thinking about doing a raised garden bed, but I'm not quite sure because there's so many things out there. There's some that are made of cedar, of pine, of plastic. What is, the best thing to do?
It's all about your budget. Rough cut cedar, and when I mean rough cut, that's just the grade in which you buy it from the lumber yard, is the cheapest cedar you can get, and cedar will last for a long time. I make my stuff out of cedar, but it's going to be pricier than pine. The thing about the pine is it's not going to last longer than probably 10 years. Plastic, on the other hand, is fine if you can find something that works for you. I think the main concern for you, is what you're going to put in there. And so you want you want to get good compost. Now, for everybody out there in Allegheny County, or maybe your municipality does it too, they've dumped this free compost in the different municipalities. Find out where they dump it where you live. And that's good stuff. But if you can't find that, go to your local nursery. Tell them, the size of your bed, and they'll sell it in bulk for you, and you'll be good to go. So there is no best for the raised bed. And in fact, in my raised beds, I don't have anything on the edges. I just pile up the compost. But if you want it to look a certain way, any one of those three would work. My preference would be the rough cut cedar. And I go to a place that's called HP Star. They're not paying me to say that, but that's a lumber yard I use, and they help me because they'll cut it to size for me and everything. They're very helpful for a guy like me that has doesn't know which side of a hammer to hold, okay?
All right, she is done. Doug, you got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
All right, Rob. Well, first off, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show and starting off our Talking Trees segment for the year. We will talk to you the next time around. Remember, for more information about Davey, what's that?
I said, thanks for having me.
All right, Rob. For more information about Davey Tree or ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDK. And remember, you can always call the experts at Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. I'm answering questions after the show at dougoster.com. If you didn't get through or you're too shy, just go on there, click the contact button. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter. You make it safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
One thing you've learned to do in this industry is tap dance. You knew exactly.
Yeah, I tried to stretch that out, Rob. I was talking as slow as I could.
You did good. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to talk about your day on the lake yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Go to my Facebook page. The spring peepers were out, and spring peepers just remind me and Rob, remind both of us of growing up in a different time. And those peepers are so loud, you can't even talk over them. So take a look at that. Thanks, Rob.
All right, buddy. You have a great day. Listen, folks, we're going to keep it going. It's Holy Week, Passover. Can't wait to talk to Joe and Frank, then TC, of course, the Coons Cooking Hour. And then it's Heffron Tillotson, it's Your Money and You. About an hour from now, it'll be the Morning Commentary with Jim Meredith. To begin the second hour of the Ask the Advisor segment with Jamie Meredith, and coming up tomorrow night on my show after local news at 6, we're going to kind of take a look back at the first quarter as far as technology and energy stocks with Brian Coble, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Heffron Tillotson. And then, of course, today it's the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show, the tournament, second day of Sweet 16, the Pens and Islanders last night, Pirate Baseball, the season opener, Chicago, coming up this week on the road. And, of course, we'll add a few other little things to the broadcast as well, so we hope you'll stick with us right through 1 o'clock today. Melinda coming up next with that news at 8 a.m. Good morning.